In chapter 3 of the book of Ezra, when you come to Ezra, you'll notice that it is very similar to Nehemiah. The same thing's happening. They've been in captivity in Babylon. And you've got different men, all, you know, still very much connected to God spiritually. You know, Nehemiah wasn't the only one that done something for God by way of trying to get the people of God and the city of God and the temple of God back to going. Ezra is one of them. And so you find him in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, look at there, Jeremiah the prophet is being given a word from the Lord. Ezra's talking about it. So you see these people all at the same event, different books, same event. And maybe that'll help somebody that you know, is trying to learn how to study their Bible and see these books. Sometimes a little thing like that can help somebody's understanding go a long way. just like 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, you're going to find a lot of similar stories. And it's because they are. They're the exact same stories, times. They may be a little bit of different times, no doubt, in each of them, and other stories in one that maybe not be in another, but... And you'll even find Psalms in Chronicles. So I encourage you to study your Bible and you learn these things. But Ezra, what I want to get to tonight, I got to thinking about this and how important that it is. He, in chapter number 3, the Bible said, just for sake of time, in verse 8, now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua, and his name means he will save. You see, it's very similar to Joshua. And the name of Jesus, all have the same, you know, meaning, Savior, he will save. Linked to the name Jehovah. So then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God. The sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord. That's exciting to me right there, just that statement. when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord. They set the priest in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. All the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of their fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. I was reading this today, and I was thinking about these men, these ancient men that begin to weep when they saw the foundation. Now, I'm sure that they were glad to see the temple going back up, but these may be, probably, Brother Brandon, you can help me out here, the same men, you know, that they remember, because it said they remembered the former house, and it speaks of that in another prophet book, and they knew the glory of the former house was greater than the one that had been built. Of course, they've not built it yet. They could possibly be the same men. They knowing that even though they've got a foundation, it's not going to be like that one was. But I do believe, surely, these men, if they love God, was also weeping for joy, glad, because the foundation for the house of the Lord had been laid again. Who loves God and wouldn't want to see the foundation laid again? Surely you'd want to see the foundation of the temple of God laid again. You know the temple's going up, and that's the first thing to happen. The foundation must be laid before anything else can take place. The foundation laid. Now, us as a child of God, who is our foundation? There is no other foundation other than Christ. Amen? He is our foundation. He is our chief cornerstone. Amen? No other foundation can a man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, the Bible said. And so we cannot do anything until we have the foundation. And Christ is our foundation. But I want us to look at this in light of building the church and the working in the church. They had builders for the foundation of the temple of the Lord. They had these priests that were going to be doing their job. You know, they had workers. It talked about these workers that were there, amen, and all these people, when they had come together, the Bible said in chapter number 3, look at verse 1, and when the seventh month was come, the children of Israel were in the cities. The people gathered themselves together as one man in Jerusalem. You talk about a unity. You talk about having a mind to work. They gathered, the people gathered themselves together as one man in Jerusalem. They all, that no doubt has to refer to the one mind of the people. Every one of them that came from in the cities, the children of Israel, they all had in mind, lay that foundation. Get that foundation laid. Amen? Get everything cleaned up. I mean, they had, everything had been destroyed. When the Babylonians came in, they took all the things from the temple. Well, they didn't take all of them. They didn't get the ark. You say, how do you know that, Brother Mark? Because Revelation says that the ark is in heaven. That ark that held the tablets, that held Aaron's rod that budded. There's a verse of scripture that sees that ark, that very ark, in the temple of God. Amen? But all of these other things, they took them, the vessels from the house of God, gold and silver and brass, or whatever that it was, if it was of value, they took it. You remember? Nebuchadnezzar lost the empire because he had a drunken party and used the vessels from the house of the Lord to drink his wine out of and angered the God of heaven. Amen? And God let that, you remember the handwriting on the wall? Meeny, meeny, tickle you, Farson? And I mean, God told him that night, that was it. It was over. Amen. Party's over for you. And the Medes and the Persians came in, didn't they? That very night killed him. So, I'm not preaching on that, but look, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua. He will save. And Josadak and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. I'm glad they're still recognizing Moses as the man of God. Amen. They may have forgot that. Maybe that's why they got themselves in such a shape as to be taken into captivity. But here in the book of Ezra, he's identified Moses as the man of God. The man of God. Listen, there's something about having respect for the man of God. I try to be an example to you, church. Listen, when we have these older, especially these elder men of God in for revival meeting, listen, why? Because they are the man of God. Now, I'm not worshiping them, and I wouldn't even begin to think to ask you to worship a man. Oh, no. Christ alone is to be reverend and worshiped, amen? But to recognize his call, to recognize that the hand of God is upon this vessel, and that's what makes him the man of God, amen? And to be good to him. to honor them that way. So here, Jeshua, he begins to put things in order. And the first thing he does is to get the altar built where they can sacrifice. No more sacrificing up there on the groves. Amen? No more sacrificing to strange gods and false gods in them high places. Let's get God's altar built again. Amen? Get God's, listen, if we're going to lay a good foundation, we need to get God's altar in working order. Amen? Somebody help me out tonight. I said if we're going to get the foundations laid, then we need to get God's altar working again. Amen? Get to where we're using that thing on a regular basis. It's not going to hurt you, listen, if you're physically able to work the altar. Amen? The more we pray, as a matter of fact, the better off we're going to be as a people. The more that we can get into the altar of God before our Lord, the better off we're going to be. The more pleasing to our Heavenly Father are we going to be. Amen? We need to sacrifice to our Lord some things on the altar. Yes. Amen? Regularly. Regularly we need to have some things brought to the altar of God and use it. Don't let life pass you by without using the altar of God the way that it should be used. I know that there's people that can't walk down here and get down on bended knees. If you did, you'd never get back up. I'm only 54 and sometimes I feel like that way with my right knee. I feel like I ain't going to get back up, but I do. But I know that there's people that's not able. You can humble yourself in your heart before the Lord. Right where you are. Amen. Bow your head. While you sit low right where you are. But there's many of us that we can work the altar. Amen. And we can pray. And so Jeshua had set that up. And he had set it up to where the men that was 20 years old and upward to be the priests working. They set forward in verse number 9. The Bible said, then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God. We need some workmen in the house of God. We need some men that's ready to put their hand out and say, I'll be a workman in the house of God. Amen. Whatever that it is. I'll pick up trash out on the grounds. I'll pick up paper in the floor. Amen. From the backs of pews. I'll wipe something up if I have to. Whatever you have. Listen. Open the door. Greet somebody. Help out in the choir. Help out in the offering. Listen, help out any way that you can. Most of all, helping out in prayer. Amen? Helping out in prayer, praying for one another. And let's get some things. When he's talking about getting the foundation laid, listen, there are some things that just need to be established. That's what a foundation is. It's that is established that everything else is built upon. And Mission Hill has been established for years. There's no debate on what Bible we use. I thank God for that. There's no debate on what kind of music we sing. I thank God for that. Listen, there are churches that don't have these basic foundations. Are you listening to me? They don't have it. But we do. We have some great foundation laid. It's been laid for years, and it's solid. Thank God for that. We are to rejoice and praise the Lord every now and then for the foundation that's been laid. Amen. What God has given unto us, Lord, have mercy. We are to bless the Lord ever so often and thank Him for these things we take advantage of. I take advantage of them many times, and I shouldn't. I ought to thank God with great liberty. I get to stand up here and open my King James Bible, amen, and without a fight from the people, amen. Without having to meet men at the end of the service because of something I said. Wasn't liked. Oh my. I thank God for the foundations that we have here. I bless the Lord. I bless the Lord. I bless the Lord that we teach our people to give unto the Lord His tithe. We teach our people to give in missions, to go into all the world. Sometimes these things, it may just seem like little things, but they're really huge things. If you ever had to take a stand against people just to get it done, you realize how huge it really is. It matters. Our foundations matter. The Bible said in the book of Psalms, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? What shall the righteous do? If the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Oh my. What could we do? Amen. We got to have the right foundation. The builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord. They set the priest in their apparel. Amen? With trumpets. And the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. David, he wanted to build a temple of the Lord, you remember, and then of course God wouldn't let him because his hands were hands of war, hands of blood. But God said, I'll let your son build the temple. Solomon built that first temple. But you know what David did? He just did the work that he could do. He bought all manner of instruments to be played in worship in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'd like to heard their choir, wouldn't you? With all them stringed instruments going, all them cymbals are going, all them people from over there in the land of Israel lifting up their voices and just letting it go, worshiping God. I've been around some of them that's saved over there. I don't know that it sounds the same that it did back in this day. But it sure sounded beautiful. It was different from what we're used to. I mean, they let it go. You talk about, you know, making those shouting sounds, you know, with their mouth. I don't know how they do it. Woo! I mean, boy, they're praising God. I mean, they get that place in an uproar. In an uproar. glad that they're apart, saved, not in darkness anymore. The ones that are saved, amen. Let me get done. I don't have time for all of it tonight. They sang together by chorus, verse 11, in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good. For His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. Two things you'll find over and over, even through the Psalms of David. The praise to God. It was over many things, but you'll find these two things probably more than anything. Giving thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and for His mercy endureth forever. Amen. Not only toward the children of Israel, many times it says toward the children of men. For He is good and His mercy endureth forever. Amen. God is good and He is merciful to us. Listen, if He wasn't, we could not be saved. Amen. And they knew that. And that's why they were able to praise God and worship Him the way they did. They said, God is good to us. And His mercy endures forever toward us. Thank God for His mercy. Amen. All the people shouted with a great shout. Amen. All of them. Wasn't none of them quiet. Nobody standing back watching everybody else. All of them shouted. Listen, if you're not accustomed to giving a big hearty amen every now and then, or a hallelujah, or a praise the Lord, when you hear people singing real loud, and maybe the preacher's preaching and he gets in gear, and you start hearing some others, right then that'd be a good time to go ahead and just kick in and sneak you out a good amen. You get used to that, you'll be the first one to do it before long. I enjoyed learning how to worship God. The devil always tried to embarrass me and make me, people's going to look at you. They're going to think you're stupid. And I mean, you're right up here on the front pew. And he'd tell you anything to keep you from just doing that. Try to make your throat swell up. I'm glad for the day I got past my flesh. And I didn't care to stand to my feet and lift my hands to heaven. I don't care who's looking. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for Him. Amen. I'm doing it because of the foundation under my feet. He set my feet on a solid rock. Hey, He established my going. Thank God the Lord said the gates of hell ain't going to prevail against the church. Amen. Upon this rock, I will build my church. What a good foundation you and I have in Christ. Amen. Bless the Lord. Right there was your chance. You could have done it. Amen. Bless the Lord. I like that one. That's biblical. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. They sang together, verse 11. They sang together. Boy, it's good to sing together.
Amen.
By course, in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. They did all that, the Bible said, at the end of verse 11. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. We can't do... Listen, we don't have anything if we don't have that foundation. But thank God we do have that foundation. The next logical thing to do is thank Him for it. And bless Him for it. Sing together for it. Amen. Amen. Unto Him. Then all of them. The Bible said the Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house. There it is. When the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy. I'd say they were glad that the temple was going back up. They remember the first one. Glory of the Lord had filled the house. You see, these were ancient men. I mean, old, real old. It may have been that there's at least a few of them that remember the glory filling that house, no doubt. Maybe they didn't remember that first day, but they did remember God coming by on occasion. About you. You want God to come by? Well, you got a foundation under your feet? Well, you've got people to sing and pray with. You got an altar to work. Amen. To give unto God on, you can praise the Lord. Church, listen, it makes the difference in the service when God's people come to really worship. Amen. All right, I'm done this evening. Like I said, there's a whole lot in this. I feel like that's all for this evening that the Lord would have me to give to you. I love you. I love you.